You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Mishpatim, and there's a lot of laws, as the name implies, but I'd like to focus in on two different concepts that are mentioned in our Parsha. One has to do with giving tzedakah, giving charity, and one has to do with when a person lends money, making sure not to take interest. There's a prohibition in the Torah of taking ribbis. Let's look at these together in the Medrash. The Medrash tells us something about giving tzedakah, giving charity. Very sobering idea. Pasuk says, "Es ani imach, take care of the poor person who's with you. Hado dechsiv, kilekim shayfet, ze yashpil v'ze yorim." God is a judge, and sometimes He lowers one person and He lifts up another person. The Medrash tells us something very important to understand. Poor person comes to us, is asking for charity. And if they're asking us, so probably means we have some kind of money. They don't have money, they're down and out. So what's the proper approach to this? We might be thinking in our heads, hey, get a job. But what's the proper approach to this? You know what this is like? This world is similar in this way. In this world, what's it like? Legalgal shebegina, to a water wheel. A wheel that brings up water from a stream maybe, or from a pit that has water in it. A well. Klei cheres shebei. So you have a turning wheel, and as the wheel goes down, it comes up with water in it. And as the wheel goes higher, so the water is already empty, and it goes down empty. The lower ones rise up full, and the upper ones go down empty. So it's a mashal for us to understand. Person one day can be wealthy, person one day can be poor, same person.
Similarly,
whoever is rich today may not be rich tomorrow. Person who's poor today might not be poor tomorrow.
Lama, why?
The world is like a turnstile. It's like a turning circle, like a wheel. Goes round and round.
Okay,
the Medrash brings a number of different psukim to show us that the world is like a circle. There's a circle of life. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Right? Today I might be the one who's giving, but heaven forbid tomorrow the person who gave could be someone who has to receive.
Pasuk says, "Ashrav kol mi sheyadai pshuta
l'aniyim." Praiseworthy is the person whose hand is outstretched to the poor.
Remak siv, see what the pasuk says. Asher v'rosh nifkashu oisei kulam Hashem.
The rich man and the poor man meet. Hashem makes them all. Which means to say, you might be rich, and another person might be poor, but it's all from Hashem, and Hashem can decide in a moment that the tables can turn.
Hashem
is the one who lights up the eyes of the two of them. And of course, we want to be from those who are giving. The poor person gets money and gets what he needs for this world. And let's be clear. That means that it's Hashem who's giving him the money. The rich person might feel like, I'm the one giving the money. But it's Hashem who's giving the money. So you need to have humility when you give. Recognize that Hashem has different ways of giving money to people. Sometimes it's through our efforts, and sometimes it's not through our efforts. It's important to know that we can just as easily be receiving money not through our efforts, and that might be embarrassing. But the rich person has an opportunity, and the poor person has an opportunity. The poor person receives the money, he gets his needs taken care of. Remind yourself it's from Hashem. The rich person gets the world to come. He gets his by diminishing himself, I would say. Right? It's a diminishment to take the money that I earned, it was hard-earned money, and give it to somebody else. That takes a certain level of humility.
And that's what we're after. And that's where we get, that's how a person earns the world to come.
Understand
that if a poor person sticks out his hand and says, please help me, and the rich person doesn't give, you need to know that Hashem makes them all.
Hashem
will turn the tables. You gotta remember that the money comes from Hashem and tables can turn. I better make sure to give while I can so that I don't end up having to be on the receiving end.
That's the Medrash. Beautiful Medrash. Now I want to focus in more. I wanted to get this concept of the turning wheel of the cycles of life. Of sometimes a person is rich, sometimes a person is poor.
So just hold on to that thought for a moment, but I want to share with you the concept of ribbis. Now, ribbis is a very interesting idea. Interest. Torah exhorts us not to charge interest.
If I have money that I can lend to somebody, can help them out, help them start a business, they're down and out, they need a loan right now, they hope to have money that's coming along in a month from now or whatever, 6 months or a year from now. Lending money is a tremendous mitzvah. Helping somebody out. I've got a little extra. I can lend it to you. You can benefit from it. Now, ribbis is interest, which means charging for the loan.
Torah says you can't do that, which is very remarkable because if you think about it, money is worth money. Having money right now, when you're not going to have it till later, it has value. With money, you make money. Right? So not charging for it, the Torah says, you should not charge interest. So that's a huge chiddush. It's a huge novelty. We need to understand what the issue is. And I'm not going to read the Medrash, but the Medrash actually earlier says that a person who lends money and takes interest, he's done such a terrible thing that when he gets up to heaven, all the angels that usually speak on our behalf, they have nothing to say. They can't speak on our behalf. Ordinarily, when we get up to heaven, you have angels that speak positively of a person, and you have angels that speak negatively of the person. But everyone, there's only negative to say about a person who takes interest. And the question is why? Why would it be that way? Why is ribbis such a negative thing in the eyes of Chazal, in the eyes of the Torah? So, I'd like to share with you the following Medrash, which really gives us a deep insight into the concept and teaches us something about power. Teaches us something about the one who has power and what it means to use that power and what it means to misuse that power.
Pasuk says, Laitia lekinoisha.
Don't be a noisha. Don't be somebody who lends money and tries to benefit from it personally, to make money off of it, who presses the people who are owing him money.
Hadau dichsiv, toiv yishchoinen umalve yichalkal dvor b'mishpat.
Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yud Beis, chapter 112, verse 5,
it is good for a person, an ish chaynen umalve. The word chaynen, ta chaynen l'adam das.
It means, I give something for free. The root of the word chaynen is great. It means grace, graceful. But it means that it's something that you don't deserve. That's what grace is.
Hashem, we don't deserve it, but you give us wisdom.
I don't deserve, if someone's going to lend me money, they're doing me a favor. I don't deserve it. Someone gives me charity, heaven forbid, if I need charity, someone who needs charity. So, it's for free. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it.
Toiv ish chaynen umalve. Yichalkal dvorav b'mishpat.
It's good for a person to be gracious and to lend money. Sometimes it's tzedakah for free, sometimes it's lending money. His words or his manners are sustained with judgment. And we're going to see that there's a concept here of judgment. When we say judgment, I don't mean in any negative sense. I just mean it in the sense of fairness. There's a certain fairness that comes out. It's important that there be a balance of fairness. Now let's see what this means.
Come and see.
All of Hashem's creations borrow from each other. Listen to this very interesting medrash. Hayom levim min alayla. Alayla min hayom. The day borrows from the night, and the night borrows from the day. Which means to say, sometimes we have 2 points in the year where the day and the night are the same. They're equal. 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. That's the equinox. Now, in the winter, the days get short. The nights get long. So the night borrows from the day. In the summer, the days are longer. And the nights are shorter. So the day borrows from the night. Okay? So we have this back and forth. Right? We have an imbalance that happens in reality. But it's cyclic. Measure says that it's not like human beings. When the day borrows from the night, the day doesn't say, hey, when are you going to pay me back? And when the night borrows from the day, it doesn't say, hey, when are you going to pay me back? The Pasuk says, from day to day, Yabia Oimer. There's an expression of speech. And if you read the Pesukim that continue there, the night, from night to night, there's an expression or a making known of the night's opinion, as it were. Ein oimer ve'ein dvarim bli nishma koilam. As the Mefarshim explain, the Pasuk says that there is no anger, there's no machlaikis, there's no judgment and argumentative behavior between the day and the night. One lends to the other when he needs it. The other one lends to the other one when he needs it. And they discuss things quietly. Okay, it's time to pay back. Pay back. Unlike humans. Hey, when are you going to pay me back? I lent you that money so long ago. When are you going to pay me back? Right, that's how humans talk. There's no... Right, if you think about it, what is anger? Anger is like a display of power. It's like I'm forcing somebody else to do my will. Instead of it coming out of love, it's coming out of a place of anger. Measure says that the moon borrows from the stars. Stars borrow from the moon. Which means to say, as the Mefarshim explained, that there are times when the moon is brighter and it's hard to see the stars. Right in the middle of the month, the moon is full. The stars are less visible. There are times when the moon disappears. And the stars take center stage. They're the stars. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roitzei Einam Yoitzim. Midrash points out something very powerful, and that is, when Hashem decides, the stars and the moon don't even come out. They're all invisible. Hashem sometimes turns off the moon and the stars, and that could be on a cloudy night, but it could also be a reference to what's going to happen in the future before Mashiach comes. For the Messiah arrives, the Pasuk says, the sun and the moon and the stars will all be turned off. And that's to show us that it's Hashem who really is the one providing this light. The sun is this powerful fireball, millions of miles away, provides light and heat and warmth for our entire planet. Unbelievable. But it's not really the sun that's providing that warmth, because it's really Hashem. Right, so we have cycles. We have the day and we have the night. We have the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they seem to have power, but they don't even have that power. But there's a back and forth between them. When they do rule, they each give each other space. Sometimes one has more, sometimes one has less. They borrow from each other. Okay, ha'or levim in Hashemesh, Hashemesh min ha'or. Interestingly, the Medjur says that the sun borrows from the light, and the light borrows from the sun, which, as Mefarshim explained again here, this is not the same type of borrowing, right? We understand that the day borrows from the night, and the night borrows from the day. We can see it getting, the day getting longer and the night getting shorter, etc. But with the sun and the light, so these are two different parts of a singular process, right? But they're two parts, right? The sun is the fireball. Yes, it creates that light. The light is emitted from the sun, but the light itself is separate from the sun. It's something that we receive here on earth, right? But it's separate. They work in tandem. The sun and the light work in tandem. Shenemar shemesh yireach aman zvula.
Sun and the moon stand in its place. Each thing has its place, right? The moon perhaps could represent the reflection of the light of the sun. Each thing has its place.
Hachachma leivim min abina. Abina min hachachma.
This one is very interesting to me. Wisdom borrows from intuition. And intuition borrows from wisdom. And chachma and bina, these are two aspects of mind, of understanding. And chachma is related to seeing. Chachma is related to seeing, where you see a whole picture at once. If you're watching the video, so you can see the fence behind me, you can see the trees, you can see there's a house, you can see the lemon right above my head. Right? There's lots to see. Chachma is like a full experience. It would take a long time for me to describe what you see in a moment. Right? When it comes to Bina, Bina is intuition. Intuition is something that's developed as you get more and more information, as you get one piece and another piece. It's related to hearing. We spoke about hearing as you hear one word and then another word, and another word, and then the words add up. You have a sentence, you have a concept, it comes together, the pieces come together. So that's more of a linear type of learning, is Bina. So intuition is you put the pieces together and you're able to complete a concept. So sometimes a person can have chachma, and based on the chachma, he can intuit things. And sometimes after using one's intuition, you can get a whole picture. Right? So each of these different aspects of mind are interdependent. They work together. They work together. So one, so to speak, borrows from the other. Sometimes the more dominant aspect is chachma. It's the wisdom. It's the big picture, people. And sometimes the more dominant aspect is the bina, is the intuitive aspect, people. And neither one is greater or better. Each person has a type of wisdom that they relate to more sometimes. And each one has its day, so to speak.
Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Hashemayim levim in aretz, aretz mehashemayim.
The heavens borrow from the earth, right? Where does the rain and the clouds get its water from? The rain gets its water from the seas, from the lakes, the evaporation, right? And sometimes the earth borrows from the heavens, right? It rains, and we get to have that water down here on earth.
Shenemar yiftach Hashem lechasei tzaraya toives Hashemayim. Pasuk says, Hashem will open up for us His good storehouse, the heavens, right? That the beautiful abundance that comes with the rain.
Medrash gives us another example. Chesed levim min atzdaka, v'atzdaka min achesed. Kindness sometimes borrows from charity. Charity sometimes borrows from kindness. Which one is greater? Doing someone a kindness? Let's say that you could have a rich person who still needs a favor. Needs someone to give him a smile. Need someone to visit him when he's sick. Right? But he's rich. He's got lots of money. He doesn't need your charity. So sometimes chesed is dominant. Sometimes tzedakah, charity, is dominant. Dealing with a person who's poor. Shemar reidiv tzedakah v'chesed. Sometimes these are two, really what the Medrash seems to be saying, I'm trying to understand it, trying to get it down to its core, is that you have two interdependent concepts, right? In order to give charity, so you have to be someone who's willing to do chesed, to do kindness, right? You have to be able to get out of yourself, not say, oh, why don't you get a job? You need to be able to say, I'm needed here. The money that I have, I can help out somebody else with it. I can lend him money, or I can give him charity. There are cycles in life. There are times when charity is greater. There are times when chesed is greater. These are two aspects of a greater whole.
Hatzairah levim min ha-mitzvahs, the mitzvahs min ha-tairah.
Interesting. The Torah, right, the teachings of the Torah, learning Torah, which we're doing here together. So, sometimes that's stronger. Sometimes that's more important. Person needs to have a time that's set aside for learning every day. Person needs to focus on spiritual teachings, on what is the will of Hashem.
right? And you need to give that, it's got to have its time. But what about the mitzvahs? What about performing that which it says in the Torah to do? What about the actions? That also sometimes needs a time. And sometimes it's more important to be learning, and sometimes it's more important to be doing mitzvahs, to fulfilling the commandments. Shenemar shmor mitzvah sevechyeh. As he says, keep my commandments and live. Right? But again, there's an interplay. These are interdependent aspects of the same thing. Right? Because the Torah is the teachings of what we are supposed to do. And if I don't know what to do, I can't do anything. Right? So I gotta learn Torah. And then on the other hand, if I just learn Torah and I don't do anything, if I don't do what the Torah says to do, so then it's just theory. It doesn't change me. Hasn't made me into a more humble person. Hasn't made me into a more loving and giving person. So I gotta do lots of mitzvahs. But I can also get lost in the doing, in the actions. If I don't come back to the spiritual teachings, which remind me of the focus, which remind me of, this is about Hashem. This is about humility. This is about love. I can get caught up in my mitzvahs. Hey, and I can step on people who are in my way of doing my mitzvahs. So I gotta have that reminder as well. They're interdependent. They're interconnected. It says the Medrash B'Yosef Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leiven Zemizeh V'Yosem Shalom Zemizeh B'Loy Dvorim. The creations of Hashem, as we saw, all of these aspects that we're talking about here, the day and the night, the stars and the moon, etc. So they borrow from each other. They recognize the cycles. They recognize the movement. They recognize that sometimes this one's a little higher and sometimes that one's a little higher. Sometimes one person is rich and sometimes another person is poor, and it can flip around in a moment. Sometimes a person feels successful. A person is making it. Sometimes they're doing well. And then sometimes the cycle moves and they need to be humbled and they need to lose the traction that they have. It's all part of life. We make mistakes. We learn from our mistakes. We lift ourselves up. We try to be a little better. So here's where we come back to the ribbis issue. What is the issue with taking interest? Why does the Torah view that with such negativity? The Medrash says that there is a lack of proportion. There's a lack of humility. There's a lack of recognition that there's an interdependency, that's the word, between myself and others. When I am lending that money, the Torah wants me to understand that the world is cyclic. If I have money today, that's today. It's easy to say, hey, I've got the money and you're going to pay for it. I've got the power and you're going to pay for it. It's easy to misuse my power for me to get out of balance, for me to get a little too self-important, to think I'm just too great for myself. And that's especially true when a person is successful with their finances. Hey, I've got it going. You don't. Pay. You gotta pay for it at some point. It's easy to think that way, to feel that way. Torah says, don't make that mistake. Don't use your power with too much gaiva, with too much ego. That's what's at stake when it comes to the interest that a person charges. Oh, I've got the power. I'm gonna charge you for it. I've got the money. I'm gonna charge you for it. Ubegazo. I'm gonna swallow you up by stealing. That's also a type of power grab. When I steal your money, what I'm saying is I'm strong. You're weak. I'm going to take it. Measure says something a little scary, but true. Important to know. When a person takes ribis, what they're saying is, Hashem, you know, you created this world and you lend to us our lives. You lend to us our lives, our souls. You lend us our families, our blessings, our homes, our cars, our wisdom, our success. We're here for a short time, for lucky 70, 80, 90 years, how long are we here for? Hashem is lending us our lives right here and right now. When a person takes ribbis, what they're saying is, Hashem, you know, you could charge. You have a right to charge for this life. It's a little scary, but that's what a person is saying. It's almost like they're saying, Hashem, of course, you have all the power. You could take advantage of us with the power. Mida keneged mida, right? Everything that we do here has a repercussion in heaven. Schara arts, shatamashka, Hashem, you should take payment for the fact that you're sending down the rain. Schara tzmachim, shatamala, you should take payment for the fact that you are causing the things that grow to grow. Schara ma'ayr, shatamayr, Hashem, you should take payment for the fact that you're shining the sun on us. Schara neshama shenafachta, schara guf shatashaymer. Hashem, you should take payment for the soul that you placed into us, for the body that you guard for us, that it should be healthy and well. Can we pay that payment? Do we have the ability to pay back what God gives us? Could we ever repay it? Hashem says to them, look at me. Hashem says, don't arouse a judgment. Don't arouse this kind of statement that you should be able, if you have power, to take what you deserve because of the power. You know, it's really true. You go to a bank, you're going to pay interest. They're going to pay you interest. Money is power. Money has value. Don't take advantage of your power, says the Medrash. And Hashem says, look at the world. I did not take any ribbis from it. Hashem doesn't come out and say, hey, respect me. Hey, what are you guys doing with your lives? Why are you not devoting your lives to me? Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem wants us to find it on our own. Hashem doesn't demand anything. Hashem says, I don't say to the earth, where's what you owe me because I bring down the rain. So Hashem in essence is saying, I give you a gift, and it's a free gift. It's your life. And everything is in balance. And that neshama is going to return back to me. And understand that everything is given with love. It's not, of course, there's a reckoning, right? Did we do what we could with this world? Because that's why we're here. But there's a balance in it. That's what the Medrash is saying. There's a balance in it. Just like the sun, the day and the night. Sometimes there's more day. Sometimes there's more night. And there's a quiet in the exchange. There's a quiet in the return. The way that Hashem interacts with us is also that way. Hashem loves us. Hashem gives life to us. Hashem is a loving God. He's not a demanding God. He's not a judgmental God in the sense of anger. But it comes with a quiet request. Hey, I gave you your life. What are you doing with it? I gave you a loan. There's a quiet request that Hashem makes of us to wake up and recognize it. And I think that it's important to come out of this with the ribbis means I have to be careful myself not to make demands on others because of the power that I have. And if I do so, I awaken that inside of myself that Hashem will not make undue demands on me. I think that's clearly what the Medrash is saying. I want to bless you and I ask you to bless me that we should be zeich, we should merit to indeed have this sense of balance, have this recognition, have this understanding that the world is cyclic. And to the degree that I can make sure that I am in balance and not
overstepping my bounds, not overusing my power, Hashem will reflect that in His relationship with me. Hashem should bless us to be able to do it, to understand it, to live that, and to experience that. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.